What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. I am Tim Geddes, joined by the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well deserved.
Big day. Gamescom is upon us.
Goodness.
It hit real hard.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was like, oh, there's a couple things that are going to be announced or whatever. A lot of dates. So many new dates. The new dates isn't even its own section. It's its own news thing in the Roper Report. I didn't even know how to do the Roper Report today because I didn't know how to. Like, we could either have just said there's 27 news stories or break it down. I broke it down into five. A little spoiler alert for later when we figure it out. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to do our best to try to get to reader mail, but oh my gosh, it's going to be a long news section today.
A lot of news.
Strap in, everybody.
Strap in, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together to talk about video games, all the news that's happening in the business. You can get this live on Twitch or as a YouTube video on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or as a podcast on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Please rate and review us. We would appreciate 4 or 5 stars. I will not accept less. So thank you very much for that. I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm feeling real good.
Well, if I was on my third cup of coffee,
yeah,
I would be
this
too.
This is lucky number 3. So we'll see how this is going. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. PAX is next week. We're going to be all over it. Greg, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Inner Sight Championship Saturday, 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. If you go to Greg Miller's Twitter, there's a really cool trailer that shows everybody that's going to be a part of it.
It hasn't gone live yet.
The trailer?
He said 1 p.m.
I just watched the trailer.
He pushed it live early. That guy.
It was great. Oh, yeah. He is in Chicago, so there's probably some weird shit going on there.
Maybe.
But at the end of the trailer, there is a reveal, an announcement of an announcement, that there is going to be a megaton surprise. I don't know what it is.
He hasn't told me.
I know what it is. It's really fucking cool. Greg, Jared, Corey Barlog, and more are talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. in the Wyvern Theater. Andrea and What's Good Games takes the Hydra stage at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Andrea is hosting three whole panels.
Life
is Strange, Just Cause 4, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And What's Good Games is throwing a party. We'll talk to you about that later.
When we get to the appropriate section.
And of course, Patreon fan mail this month is a signed photo of the champion, Nick Scarpino.
That guy.
So if you want this, go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames and support us. You also get a whole bunch of other stuff like party mode early and all that. It's worth it. And today we're brought to you by MeUndies, but we will get to that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. 5 news stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you for that, Kevin. News story number 1, I just put Microsoft at Gamescom. They did an episode of Inside Xbox, whole bunch of news. Let's go through it. Xbox Game Pass stuff. Halo Master Chief Collection enhanced for Xbox One X coming September 1st. Finally. Long, long, long overdue. To get the Xbox One X enhancements.
You said it.
I'm very excited for it. I wish they made a bigger deal out of this, and I wish they were really pushing it. But hey, September 1st, close enough for me. I'm happy about that. This is a game that belongs on Game Pass, and if it finally works correctly, I think that's going to be a real big deal for them if they keep pushing it and keep supporting it.
Absolutely. It's certainly a fantastic collection. It was really well done by 343. And like you mentioned, overdue enhanced for Xbox One. I would have thought that would have been something they had pushed at E3, but maybe they just weren't ready for it. Or maybe they were holding an announcement specifically for Gamescom. But it's releasing at a very busy window.
Mm-hmm.
So I envision this something maybe people will get around to, like when we get to like November, December, if they're not all the way knee deep in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Exactly. Next up in Game Pass news, starting today until August 31st, you can get 1 month of Xbox Game Pass for just $2 or the equivalent local currency and receive a second month for free in nearly all countries where Xbox Game Pass is available. So that's interesting. $2 gets you 2 months of Game Pass. I wonder what the thought process is here. Is it just like, let's just get them in low, get them addicted to the crack?
Right. Like most subscription services, they'll offer a free introductory period. You put your credit card down to sign up for the free period, knowing that you have to call back or go online to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And most people at least let a couple of months go by before they're like, oh, yeah, I should cancel that.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're saying if we open the door here people will get in as regular monthly subscribers.
It's just, it's an interesting tactic to charge for the first month and then give the second month free, because usually it'd be like,
let's buy one, get one free.
Get a month. Yeah,
it's
but
a
like
really for common
a,
sale.
For a subscription service?
I
ballsy
don't know.
Move, Microsoft. I like it. I like it a lot. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny.
While we're on the topic of Game Pass, just one quick aside. I saw some people, both in the What's Good Games Facebook group and in the Kind of Funny group, talking about a rumor report that Shadow of the Tomb Raider and Metro Exodus would be coming day and date to Xbox Game Pass. I have reached out to the PR teams, but have not received a response because as they all are in Germany at Gamescom, they'll probably be slow to respond, but hopefully I'll have an update before Friday.
What do you think?
I think that there's no way that's true.
Yeah.
I think maybe a free trial period, like you get the first X amount of hours to try, like an extended demo on Game Pass, but the whole game on Game Pass, day and date, no way.
Yeah,
I mean, that would cost Xbox a ton of money.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like a ton of money. Not that they don't have the money to spend, but like it would be crazy.
Yeah, that really would be crazy. Although that could justify Shadow of the Tomb Raider being released when it is being released and all that. Oh no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all.
I don't believe it either, but I reached out and asked for clarification, and they told me that they would find out and get back to me.
And the last thing about Xbox Game Pass, there's a mobile app coming out that will allow users to manage their Game Pass catalog, install games directly to their Xbox One, and manage their subscription in addition to a number of other features. Cool. If you're really in the Xbox ecosystem, this is only a helpful tool for you to have. So I think that anything like that, I always like. It's always great being able to download PSN games with not having your system on or whatever. So I like that. And then some more stuff from Microsoft. Rare has revealed Sea of Thieves next update, dubbed Forsaken Shores, will be open for plunder on September 19th, Kevin's mom's birthday. The next update will bring a volcanic world to the Sea of Thieves called Devil's Roar. This new island will periodically erupt and shake the world with tremors, launch geysers, fling rocks, and heat the water around the island to the point you can be boiled to death.
That's horrifying.
To combat that heated water, Rare is introducing a rowboat for players to safely get from one point to another. You were playing a bit of Sea of Thieves when it first came out.
I did, yeah.
Is there anything that can get you back?
At this point, I'm not sure.
They're bringing the heat, sounds like.
Literally, right? I like how they have been updating it and really trying to reinvigorate the crazy launch install base that they had when that game came out. I believe they reported over 2 million players at launch for that game, which is great. But the thing I think that would really get me back in is if they had PvE. Because right now the entire game is technically PvP, and I would like to be able to go explore and go on adventures and sail with my friends without the worry of being sunk by another group of players.
Mm. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds, aka PUBG, will exit the Xbox Game Preview Program on September 4th, 2018 to full product release 1.0. This includes major bug fixes, improved performance, the Sandhawk map, custom matches, including... Oh, man, I didn't write down the last part. My bad. Some
okay.
mode. Some mode. Conquest mode, I think it was called. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Achievements carry over from game preview. So there you go. What do you think about that?
This story really is about them having a successful, what they would dub a AAA and easily is a AAA title that started out in Xbox Game Pass, and they worked with the community, took in their feedback, incorporated it, and now are doing a full title release. And that's really what the story was on Xbox Wire, that Microsoft is touting this as a successful transition from game preview to launch and saying, hey, we did this with this one game and it went really well. Tons of people are playing it. We hope to do this with more titles in the future. I think that's really what the story is here.
Was PUBG released physically in early access?
No.
Does this mean it's going to be released
physically?
Don't
believe so. And that's another kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm pretty sure there was never a retail disc for early access.
Yeah. Maybe you are correct.
Okay.
I think it was
okay.
Digital only.
Let us know. We got some new Ori and the Will of the Wisp stuff, a new Spirit Trials mode.
Whoa.
Which is just a different single-player gameplay mode. It's kind of like ghosts in Mario Kart, where essentially you're fighting against the clock of different scores on leaderboards and stuff. Cool, interesting stuff. I love Ori. Can't wait for the sequel, 2019. A little far away.
Oh, it looks so beautiful.
More on State of Decay 2's Daybreak Pack, available on September 12th. There was more on Forza Horizon 4's team multiplayer action. And then they announced 8 new bundles. 8 new Xbox One bundles. And 3 new controller designs, including the first ever Xbox One X Special Edition console bundle, the Xbox One X Gold Rush Special Edition Battlefield 5 bundle.
Say that 5 times fast.
As well as the Xbox Wireless Controller, PUBG Limited Edition, and new camo and shadow options for Xbox Design Lab. You guys can check out all the 8 different bundles. There's one for Fallout 76. There's one for Battlefield. It's not. There's a whole bunch. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Whole bunch of them. But they're just either Xbox One S or Xbox One X, the base console with the game. Nothing really fun or crazy going on. The one interesting one is the Battlefield 5 Gold Rush Edition, because it's the first Xbox One X that is not just black. But it's not that different. It's just this kind of like gunmetal gray, and it looks cool, but
yeah, it's almost like it starts on one side of being this almost like this champagne taupe color, and then it ombres into black as you go from left
good
to right.
Good use of the ombre.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
You're welcome.
But yeah, so go check that out. I think the coolest stuff here is that we're finally getting into custom Xbox One X's, and the Xbox Design Lab is just such a great, great idea.
Love it.
Great thing. And like decent price point, and going in there and just more options is always good.
I really wish PlayStation would do that with DualShock 4. And I know they just announced that, you know, those 4 new colors that they're doing, but you're always so locked to retailers as to who has what in stock. If I could just go to the PlayStation store and build my DualShock 4 right there and have it shipped to me, that would be so awesome.
It would be. You know, so this is surprising in terms of the hardware stuff. Everyone kind of expected the next Elite controller to be shown. There was a lot of rumors. They soft discontinued it a couple months ago, the original one. And like, it's been very hard to find it in stores. And there was a lot of rumors of leaked enhancements that we've seen that are just like slight improvements that look more like a iPhone 5 to 5S type improvements instead of like a whole brand new crazy thing. And then as late as last week, there was rumors of it. Here it is. It's going to be here. And then like the prototype name came out. I forgot what it was, but it was like Woodchuck or something like that. And it wasn't here.
Yeah.
And I would put money on it being here. So that's
It would have made sense, right? At Gamescom.
Especially because about a month ago, they announced at Gamescom there will be new hardware and accessory announcements. And I guess 8 bundles and 3 controller designs is just that. Then there's some weird info. ReCore Definitive Edition, Super Lucky's Tale.
Washburn was the code
Washburn
name.
Woodchuck. I've heard it both
They're
ways.
They're totally the same word.
Heard it both ways. ReCore Definitive Edition, Super Lucky's Tale, Disneyland Adventures, Rush, a Disney Pixar Adventure, and Zoo Tycoon Ultimate Animal Collection are coming to Steam and PC disc on September 14th. What's your take on this? Why?
They have the licenses. They are on Xbox One X. You know, those were part of the titles that they showed when that console launched. So why not make them on PC?
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, Xbox has been pushing this Play Anywhere for a while now.
Yeah.
It's not weird.
Yeah, I don't know. This list of games, they're pushing them real hard. Seems like people aren't really biting.
Well, I think they service a very specific audience, right? Like, they're all very family-friendly games.
Steam audience. Exactly.
Except for maybe ReCore.
Second news story is just new dates from Gamescom. And there's a ton of stuff here. Some fun stuff, some ass stuff. Let's get into it. The Walking Dead, the complete first season, is coming to Nintendo Switch on August 28th. Telltale announced today. Season 2 and A New Frontier will come to the console later this year. Nintendo has announced that the Nintendo 3DS remake of Luigi's Mansion will be released on October 12th in North America and October 19th in Europe for $40. I would be excited about that if it was on the Switch, but it's not.
Yeah, so, it's kind of a weird choice.
They're just they got that install base on the 3DS and they're just like, look, we got to put something out.
Couldn't possibly take
that
much money to port that game to Switch.
I think that when we see the games that they're deciding to continue to release on the 3DS, it tells a very clear story of them trying to not step on the toes of Switch and building towards a future. We saw it with Metroid when, what was it called? Metroid Samus Returns was announced on 3DS, and then Metroid Prime on Switch.
Right.
I think they don't want to like dilute too much of the brand. I feel like we're going to get another Luigi's Mansion on Switch, and I think that this is kind of just brand awareness, keeping it going to build for a proper Luigi's Mansion 3, which I would much rather over a port of the first game.
That's true. When do you think they're going to sunset the 3DS?
That is very interesting.
That system has been out for a long time.
Yeah, since 2011, 2010, maybe.
Let me look this up.
Yeah, we need to know.
It launched February 26, 2011 in Japan.
Okay.
March 25th, 2011 in Europe, and the 27th here in North America.
Yeah, so it's been a while, and I mean, it's had a ton of hit games, and it's sold very well. But I do think it's finally reaching the end of its lifespan. You know, when the Switch was first coming out, everybody was really like, kill the 3DS, just move on. And I was one of those people, very loud. And I still am. But I feel like Nintendo made a very smart move in continuing to invest in the 3DS and to put so many new games, including things like Metroid, on there and having it be one of the best-selling Metroid games ever. They made a right call, right? Like, let's get the brand awareness out there, and let's also make some extra scrap where we can, because we have this install base already, while the Switch was such a hot commodity and so hard to get in its earlier days. I do feel like we're already starting to see less and less new announcements for the 3DS. And it is kind of just like the throw everything at the wall and see what sticks mentality. Like, we've got that Mario Party kind of minigame collection, but now we're finally seeing Mario Party is moving over in a proper way to the Switch. And I feel like Luigi's Mansion is like another example of something that we'll see that sooner than later. I don't know that the 3DS will be fully finished until we see a Switch revision, because I think that it's still, especially with the 2DS line, it fits that market for families and for that cheap entry point to get kids playing Mario and Pokemon games.
Yeah. Because so, I would much rather hand a 2DS to like a 5-year-old than a Switch.
Yeah. And I feel until we get that kind of lower entry Switch, or at least a price point that's closer to $200, I think that the 3DS is going to continue to have new games announced for it and be supported.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Shenmue 3 has a release date.
Finally.
August 27th, 2019 on Windows and PS4. Plus, there's a new trailer you can check out. Here's the thing, Andrea.
Yes.
Do you believe it?
Well, it's late summer next year, so that's still like a full year away, right? That's a lot of time. And I think that that's could be plenty of time for them to hit that window. Yeah.
I believe it. And here's why. It's so far in the future. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know. I think it is the furthest game in the future that we have a release date for. Like, I don't think we have anything even close to August 2019.
I think some dates in like March or April are the latest we have for next year. Yeah.
So it's like
everything else is just like fall or holiday 2019.
To me, this tells me they're being very realistic. They're giving themselves that goal that they need to hit, and they're going for it. Shenmue 1 and 2 come out today, the remasters, and they're like, we gotta keep pushing with this stuff. So I believe. And shout out to them for putting a release date, even though it's super far in the future.
Well, I mean, they have a bunch of obligations to their Kickstarter backers, right?
And we've always
that might
seen
have something to do with it.
This comes from Nintendo Everything. The Sega Ages series should be getting started on Switch this month with Sonic the Hedgehog and Thunder Force 4. And we also have news about the next title that will follow, confirmed just today. Sega Ages Phantasy Star is planned for September. Japanese pricing is set at 925 yen. Capcom has revealed Devil May Cry 5 will be released on March 8th, 2019. I am so, so excited for it. There's a new trailer and a ton of gameplay footage up on IGN and various websites of it.
You're going to be showing it at PAX.
The trailer is everything I want from this game. A real focus on a lack of focus on Dante, but I kind of like that they're just slowly building and teasing this. The trailer ends with Dante riding in on a motorcycle, jumping off to face an enemy, pulling the motorcycle into two parts, and the motorcycle is then used as a dual wielded weapon.
Bananas.
And I'm like, let's fucking go.
There was actually a write-in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD about this that I was going to ask you about. It's from David Scott, and he says, "What's good, Tim and Andrew? I sadly have never played a DMC game, but with the new DMC 5 trailer being shown today, I figured I would ask you guys, what is the elevator pitch to this franchise? How would you describe its best features to someone who has never heard of it? Thanks for the amazing content, David Scott."
Stylish action combos is pretty much the best way to go.
Over-the-top boss battles.
Over-the-top boss battles. Super Japanese.
Like, really fast-paced, fluid combat.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like the gameplay of the originals is a little bit dated because it's a PS2 game. But the aesthetics and environment and atmosphere of Devil May Cry 1 is just so dialed in and cool. Cool is probably another way to put it.
Yeah.
Cool Japanese. But Devil May Cry 3 does stand up and is still a amazing game. And if you're into games like Bayonetta and stuff, definitely, I think, give this one a try. I don't think that you need to play the other ones to get into 5. You're not going to understand it either way. And also,
read a wiki article, maybe.
Yeah, and you're going to be very confused. And there's a lot of weird brother shit going on. But it doesn't matter. Like, Devil May Cry 5, it'll be super fun and hopefully modernized to a point that makes it feel like a current game, but also I hope they don't lose their the weirdness of the other games. And from these trailers, they know exactly what they're doing. What I'm interested in is Bayonetta 3. We haven't heard about that for a while since it was announced at Game Awards last year. I wonder where that's going to land, because I would have pegged that for a March release date.
Maybe we'll get a Game Awards reveal.
Yeah,
it was announced there. Maybe Keighley's working on some kind of an exclusive, you know, gameplay reveal.
I wonder how much it would affect either of the games with how similar they are if they were to come out at the same time, even though they're on Switch exclusive versus
Think that they would cannibalize each other, because the type of game they are narratively is different enough. The gameplay is certainly structured very similarly. It's like this third person, fast paced, combo driven combat, but I think they both could do really well.
I want to see a crossover eventually.
Oh, yeah?
It would be awesome. Awesome. The Dark Souls trilogy has been announced for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, has been given an October release date, priced at $80. The Dark Souls trilogy is a 3-game compilation featuring Dark Souls Remastered, Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin, and Dark Souls 3, The Fire Fades Edition, packaged in an exclusive steelbook case. The compilation also includes all previously released DLC content. The interesting thing here is it's releasing the same day as the Switch Dark Souls Remastered, which is just the first game.
Yeah, so somebody wrote in about this. Brett Jamerson wrote in and says, "What's up with Dark Souls trilogy having the same release day as Dark Souls 1? I really feel like this is going to hurt the franchise on that platform, and instantly reminds me of the Mass Effect 3 situation on Wii U. Why would Square Enix do this? Surely they have to know it will stymie the sales of DS1 on Switch." I don't think that it'll necessarily stymie them. I think it just gives consumers options. Mm-hmm. If they want to just buy DS1, or if they want the entire trilogy. Maybe they have the other two games on a platform that they like, or maybe they don't want to go back and play those other two, but we haven't seen, you know, DS1 for quite some time, and they are getting the nostalgia and want to go back there. I think it's just options for consumers. I don't think this is something to be concerned about.
For me, I feel like on paper it's weird. I don't think it's in reality going to affect anything. Like, I don't think this affects the sales of the people that are trying to buy Dark Souls on Switch. They fall into one of two camps. They either have never played a Dark Souls game before and they want to give it a shot because they've heard about the brand, and being a Nintendo consumer, they haven't been able to play it before. Or the people that are like, I haven't played Dark Souls in years. I would love to go back to the first one, and having it portable would be great. I feel like otherwise, you either have one of the other systems and you've played the games before and just want to get the trilogy, or you're not interested, or this is your jumping on point. You're like, I'm going to go all in. The people buying Dark Souls on Switch, it's a very specific group. So I don't think that this is going to affect that too much, because I don't think the crossover of the amount of people that would buy the trilogy and Dark Souls, I don't think it's that big.
Right.
Bandai Namco today announces my favorite announcement of the day. This would have been on a normal day,
It's story on number story, one yeah.
on Roper Report. Bandai Namco announces the Dark Pictures Man of Medan, the first installment in a brand new narrative horror anthology series. The Dark Pictures Man of Medan is slated to release in 2019 for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Steam. Developed by Supermassive Games, the critically acclaimed studio behind the cult classic thriller Until Dawn, the Dark Pictures is a series of standalone cinematic horror games linked by one common element, that every playable character can live and every playable character can die throughout the story, yielding numerous possible endings and near limitless replayability. The series, which is the first in Supermassive's horror catalog to be released on Xbox One and PC, challenges players to face their fears and uncover the secrets of the Dark Pictures universe, where every choice has potentially irreversible consequences.
And then we have a little bit more context from Brian Crescenti over at Variety, who writes, Supermassive Games CEO Pete Samuels said, quote, each game in the series will feature a brand new story, setting, and characters. The anthology format gives us the opportunity to tap into a variety of horror subgenres. We've identified 39 that we'd love to represent in the anthology, but that would take some time.
I am all about this. This is just nothing but good news to me. The one thing that I would have preferred is if it was called Until Dawn and there was like Until Dawn was the like anthology name they went from there, but I'm sure there's like legal issues and rights and licensing and all that that goes with that. And the only reason I'd really want that is because I feel like Until Dawn had such a great cult following
right.
that being able to build off the success of that would be huge for them. But they're going to gain it right back with this branding. This is such a great idea. I'm hoping that they're smaller titles. Like, I'm hoping that there's more of these that are like more bite-sized.
That's what like it sounds like.
3-hour experiences, maybe 5-hour experiences, whatever it is, but on a more frequent basis. We've kind of been seeing the like decline of episodic video games in the last couple years. Like, we saw Hitman try it and then now go back to just being a full game, right? And then we've seen even things like Street Fighter V with the way that it was releasing seeming to be the way of the future. And now it looks like if there's a Street Fighter VI, I doubt it will be that type of release. I think it will be more of a, here's a standalone.
But I mean, we also have things like Life is Strange, which is episodic. Mm-hmm. We have all of the Telltale games, which are episodic. I think it works for games that have a heavy narrative focus, that are more like a point-and-click adventure game of old, which is clearly what the gameplay that Supermassive is going for with this series.
But even then, with the Telltale thing, we've been seeing the sales decline for Telltale series overall.
But I don't think that's due to the episodic format. I think that there's a lot of other, you know, issues going on with Telltale and particular that we don't need to dig into right yeah. now. But I think that, as you mentioned, Supermassive established a great following of fans with Until Dawn. There's no doubt in my mind the reason that name isn't being used is because it's tied into the exclusivity with PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And this is a great opportunity for them to bring their style of narrative storytelling. And the trailer looks fantastic. It looks like that really lifelike graphic animation that we saw in Until Dawn. Mm-hmm. And now they can bring it to Xbox and PC.
That's huge. And that's my favorite thing about this is that game was so special. And if we can get it out to just more people to buy and more people to support, that it's a unique experience because that game relied on actors in a way that most video games don't. And I feel like, especially with everyone being its own standalone thing, it gives the options for some really cool crossovers with actors that we can get in the games. And if the sales numbers are good, like, this could be a huge moment for video games if this picks up and like keeps being a thing. And I think with the success that Until Dawn saw on Twitch, I feel like this game is gonna, like, every time there's a new one, it's gonna be kind of a tentpole event, you know. It's gonna kind of create that, like, that moment of everybody watching people play, even if they're not buying it, and then eventually they'll buy the next one because they're super stoked about it.
It would be really cool to see them do licensed stuff as well. Obviously, original horror stories are something that is incredibly popular in the video games community, but there's so many great horror properties out there already that it would be fun to maybe see something short. And it might be something that, you know, actors could commit to doing because the amount of time that they need to do mocap and VO is traditionally not as intensive or as long as a feature mm-hmm. film.
I'm super excited. Bandai Namco also announced that Ace Combat 7 will commence on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on January 18th, 2019, with the Steam for PC version taking off shortly after on February 1st, 2019. Wow, I feel like we've heard about this game for years.
I honestly don't even remember when it was first announced.
PSX 2016? I feel like it was the San Francisco PSX.
Let's see. Announcement trailer.
Was it?
I think so, because that was the first year that we had launched.
Mm.
Right?
March 2016, I think.
Interesting.
Is it still going to have VR?
I imagine so, but
it's
I do
like,
not.
I've been waiting for that for a little while.
Ubisoft announced the return.
Oh, 2015. Yeah, December 2015.
There you go, PSX. Knew it. Ubisoft announced the return of the classic build-up strategy game, The Settlers, which will be led by Volker Wertig, the creator of the franchise. The Settlers will be available on Windows PC in fall 2019. I have no idea what that game is, but maybe that's for you. And Ubisoft also announced that Tom Clancy's The Division 2 is getting Standard, Gold, Digital Ultimate, and 2 Collector's Edition, all available for pre-order now. There is so much information and so many differences between all these versions. It is utterly ridiculous. It's a whole page worth of shit.
It's a lot of text.
You can go check it out. But it's just like, it's ridiculous. But the one thing that I want to talk about is the Collector's Edition. The Dark Zone Collector's Edition includes the game, 3-day early access, the year one pass, the 3 additional digital packs, a book of lithographs, a soundtrack, a map of Washington, D.C., and a 30-centimeter tall figurine of Division 2 Specialized Agent Heather Ward. This version runs for $190 US. And then there's the Phoenix Shield Collector's Edition, which is available for pre-order exclusively through the Ubisoft store. It includes everything the Dark Zone Edition does, but instead of Heather Ward, it comes with a high-end articulated figurine of Brian Johnson, a former sniper with the Baltimore PD, equipped with a TAC-50C sniper rifle. It also comes with a Ubisoft store exclusive steelbook case. In total, the Phoenix Shield Collector's Edition will set you back $250 US. Now, the interesting thing about this is if you're crazy, you can get both the figurines because the figurines connect together.
it's so much stuff. I'm on their page right now, and they just have so many options for how you want to buy this game. I mean, Ubisoft has always gone above and beyond when it comes to their special editions and their collector's mm-hmm. editions for their games.
Is this above and beyond, or is this just beyond?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen them yet, and kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, release a collector's edition that had 2 different figurine options.
Mm-hmm.
They almost always do 1 figurine option. They have a long history of working with a variety of toy makers like Todd McFarlane, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not surprised to see statues. I think a little figurine is something you almost expect in a collector's edition these days.
Yeah.
But there's just a lot happening here.
And you can buy, if you buy one of the editions, you can buy the separate statue separately without getting the other special edition. It's just, yeah, there's just a lot. And whatever, if this is for you, good for you. Enjoy your things. Enjoy your toys. I love that. I just think it's weird. I just think it's very, 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 very weird.
I think the weird part about it, and maybe why it's kind of sitting off with you, is that the characters in The Division aren't really iconic.
And that's the problem. It's like, okay, you buy Halo, you get a Master Chief statue.
Right.
Cool. This, you get Heather Locklear or whatever her name is. Like, I don't understand.
Heather Locklear is an actress.
Charlie's Angels,
baby. Her name is Heather Ward.
video game publisher Modus Games, in partnership with developer EXIN and Fishing Cactus, today announced their collaboration on the upcoming adventure game Arai and the Secret of Seasons, coming to PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Steam in 2019. And get ready for this winter. Mutant Year Zero Road to Eden has a release date. Funcom and the Bearded Ladies have announced that your new favorite talking pig and duck will be launching on Xbox One, PS4, and PC on December 4th of this year. It's Jay-Z's birthday. Is this that game with the little animals that are like,
yes,
walking around on their feet and stuff?
Yes, the humanoid animals.
Yeah.
So they're showing this at Gamescom, and they're also showing it at PAX. We had a couple people actually write in about this.
It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw the reveal pictures.
Jared Petty actually was on the Facebook gaming stage that we put together at E3 talking about this game in particular, because he was like, I want to see more from this game.
It looks tight. Couple more new dates for you. Arena of Valor, Tencent's accessible 5v5 MOBA supplying players' burst of competitive play on the go, will reach Nintendo Switch on September 2018 with exclusive content. Switch players will also have the opportunity to prove their aptitude against the world's very best players, as Arena of Valor's Switch version will implement a global server.
So this is currently available in beta. Yeah, so this is the full release. So it's cool. The time that I've spent with Arena Valor has been really fun. I just haven't given it enough of enough attention to really learn all the different heroes in that game, because as with any MOBA, you just have to play and play and play and play to get to know how each of the individual characters works.
Does a Switch release excite you at all?
I've been playing it on my Switch. I've tried it. The thing I have trouble with right now is that I don't play a lot of internet connected games on my Switch, because generally when I'm playing my Switch, I'm on an airplane or I'm traveling and I don't connect to Wi-Fi. So that's kind of a bummer, but I also just need to play more of my Switch when I'm at home in docked mode. I almost never play in docked mode.
Then finally, Deep Silver Fish Labs announced Saints Row the Third Switch port in 2019.
This is so weird.
So weird, but why not? I guess.
Why not? Yeah.
And then third Roper Report story, I guess. This is just Gamescom news. So not dates, not Microsoft stuff, just news. Overwatch LEGO characters revealed. This comes from Colin Stevens at IGN. The long-teased Overwatch / LEGO collaboration looks to be closer than ever, as the building blocks company has hinted at six Overwatch heroes that will likely become figures. As revealed on Twitter, LEGO has six mystery figures load on screen with a backdrop of a few different Overwatch maps, including the Japan-based Hanamura map. It's possible these will serve as the basic LEGO sets that will eventually be released. The six figures that come on screen aren't entirely clear, but from left to right, they appear to be Widowmaker, Reinhardt, Genji, Soldier 76, Mercy, and McCree. No figures or sets have been confirmed, but the post did include references to Gamescom, which is currently happening in Germany. Blizzard set to announce new Overwatch content on Wednesday, August 22nd, so tomorrow. So it's possible we'll hear more about that then.
Wait, before you go on, Panks wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD crew, with today's tease of incoming Overwatch LEGO sets, what are some other video game series you think would be a great fit for LEGO? What do you think this means for the possibility of TT Games making a LEGO Overwatch game and putting it on Switch? Yeah. All I want is to play Overwatch on my Switch, damn it. Thanks.
There was Overwatch Switch rumors popping back up recently, but I was like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, those rumors probably popped up after Blizzard announced Diablo 3 on Nintendo Switch last week. But Blizzard very clearly said when Switch launched, don't expect Overwatch on Switch ever. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're changing their position on that.
We'll see. Nintendo Switch Online coming.
But a TT version of Overwatch LEGO?
That would be interesting. But I mean, I feel like they're even
the kings
less
of
likely.
Licensed LEGO games. Oh, yeah. So I think that could be cool. Obviously, it would be the same type of gameplay. It would probably be more of a traditional LEGO style. But it could be
could happen.
It could be a great way for them to incorporate some of this fantastic Overwatch lore that you don't really get a lot of in-game.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Maybe.
I would have loved a Halo set, but Mega Bloks got them. And that was sad for everybody.
So sad.
Fuck Mega Bloks, man.
Fuck them.
And everything they stand for.
Everything.
Thank you, Kevin. God. And also, they're teasing a new animated short tomorrow as well. So that's exciting. Those are always so good. New Cyberpunk 2077 screenshots and concept art revealed. This comes from Tom Marks at IGN. Today, during the IGN Gamescom live show, developer CD Projekt Red revealed new concept art from Cyberpunk 2077. They later revealed new screenshots on Twitter. Three of those screenshots include new looks at Jackie Wells, a companion that works with the main character V. We saw a good amount of Jackie in the reveal trailer for E3 2018. No gameplay of Cyberpunk 2077 has been shown publicly yet, though an updated version of the behind closed doors demo we saw at E3 2018 is also being shown behind closed doors at Gamescom 2018. Did you see the demo?
I did not.
Oh, you missed out.
Yeah, well, cool. We had to divide and conquer at E3 this year. There was just so much to see, but Britt and Steimer went, and they seemed to really like it. I know a lot of people were very impressed with it. I have no doubt that there will be plenty of opportunities for me to see this game before it's released, so I wasn't in a hurry, but I have suspicions that this behind-closed-door demo will make its way to YouTube at some point, hopefully before the end of the year.
Do you really think so?
Not the whole demo,
like maybe a chunk. Because it was about an hour.
Like a dev diary, like a nice like 15-minute or 20-minute like walkthrough.
Scenes and gameplay.
Yeah, we generally see that stuff that was behind closed doors eventually make its way out, unless it's very tech demo based.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Life is Strange 2. We got the first look trailer with some info on that. The main characters of Life is Strange 2 are brothers Sean and Daniel Diaz, 16 and 9 years old. The two brothers living a fairly normal life in Seattle. Following a tragic event, their lives are forever changed. Now on the run from the police and threatened with both separation and incarceration, Sean decides to take his younger brother and seek a better life in their family's home of Puerto Lobos, Mexico. The first of 5 episodes will release on September 27th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. You got some fun stuff here.
Oh, yes, I sure do. So this is really exciting because there's been a lot of speculation about what they're going to do with Life is Strange 2, knowing that Chloe and Rachel's story is finished and we're not going to see Max. And so we finally got a look at who the protagonists are, as expected. If you guys played The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, these two characters were teased at the end of that little game. And if you haven't, it's free. You guys should check it out. It's free on all platforms. And we're going to learn even more about it at the panel that I'm hosting, Expanding the Life is Strange Universe at PAX. It's at 12 p.m. on Friday, August 31st. And if you guys are going to be there, please come by. I'm not quite sure if it's going to be live streamed yet or not, but I'll let you guys know. But we are partnering with Square Enix and Life is Strange to throw another What's Good Games Life is Strange 2 fan meetup at PAX West.
Hell yeah.
It's 100% free for everybody to come. You must be 21 or older. It's from 6 to 9 at the Unicorn. Last year we had a line around the block, so this year we're taking over the entire bar.
Baller.
Upstairs and downstairs. And we're going to have free drinks for the first 100 people in line. Woo! We're going to have some giveaways, lots of cool stuff. You guys can find out all of the details at facebook.com/whatsgoodgames, where you can RSVP for the party.
Soul Calibur 6 story mode and DLC character announced. This comes from Bandai Namco. Soul Calibur 3's Tira is DLC, and Libra of Souls is the second announced Soul Calibur 6 story mode and allows players to create a custom fighter. The character creation tools let players choose from 16 races and a myriad of facial features, body types, hairstyles, weapons, armor, and fighting styles. It comes out October 19th for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. We got a first look at Spyro Reignited Trilogy, Spyro Year of the Dragon levels, that's Spyro 3. Activision has released 11 new screenshots for the trilogy and has given us our first look at Spyro's third installment, as well as some more stuff from the second game, Spyro Ripto's Rage. Andrea, you got to play this game.
I did. So I got to play, Activision recently did a hands-on event here in San Francisco where I got to play Sekiro and Spyro. And the embargo for both of impressions on those is unfortunately tomorrow, not today. So I can't give you guys impressions until Friday. But they will be not only on What's Good on Friday, but also if you guys have questions, you can write in to KFGD, but you might not want to. You might want to wait until either late Thursday or Friday morning so Greg sees them.
Hell yeah. And Sonowith writes in and says, "Hey guys, loving this show so far. My question is about the Spiral Trilogy delay. Put on your tinfoil hats, everybody. Toys for Bob says the game needs a little more love, but with the original release date a month away, is it possible that they're just pulling it out of September to save it from competing with Spider-Man, Life is Strange 2, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider? October similarly packed, but November seems much safer for a game like this to have a good run. Are they doing what EA didn't do with Titanfall 2 and are saving it from the fire, or are the 2 extra months really enough to iron out whatever problems caused the delay? Maybe it's just me, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this crazy theory."
Well, there are some thoughts on this crazy theory. According to a source at Newsweek, this has to do with the fiasco of the two games in the trilogy not being on the game disc. So the theory is sourced from a YouTuber, Yang Ye, and who has a source supposedly, allegedly, inside either Activision or Toys for Bob, and described as someone close to the project. The backlash to this decision was one factor in committing to the recent delay. The insider alleges that putting just one of the three games on the Ignited Trilogy disc was not something the team wanted to do, and that it was only enforced by the game's publishers at Activision to get the finished product out on time. Toys for Bob was denied when officials asked Activision for a deadline extension, but the publisher changed its stance after holding a second meeting to discuss the issue. This seems like a logical reason to delay the game, more so than them trying to compete, because all the games that they're really talking about here are all mature rated games, right? Even Life is Strange is not really super kid friendly, despite the fact that it kind of looks like it is. And Spyro is a very kid friendly game. Spider-Man is a T, right? But like, I think about a game that like a 5 or 6 year old can play. They're probably
or
not
29 year old
or 29 year old. They're probably not going to play Spider-Man. Well, I mean, not that they couldn't. They'll just be like a prodigy 5-year-old. But I think that this is this rumor about wanting to get all of the games on the disc, because there was a lot of people upset about that when that news broke that you were going to have to digitally download.
Ridiculous.
It is. I mean, it devalues the physical hardware, right? Like, it devalues the purpose of buying a disc. It's like, why don't you just make it a digital only release then?
Yeah.
So, but Activision almost never does that.
Yeah.
Because they are really knee deep in their brick and mortar partnerships.
But especially for a game like Spyro, which can't be that big. Like, even if there's the three games, it's like, well, when you look at the file size.
We all said that about Crash, too. And look at how big that game got.
It wasn't that big. I'm talking file size.
Oh, you're okay. I thought you were talking about the release.
No.
Like, you're talking about like how many gigabytes the download is.
It's ridiculous that they can't fit the three games on a disc. Like, that does not make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. To me, it smacks of not having the space, but the files weren't just ready for pressing, right? They weren't ready for certification.
Yeah, we'll see. That's what I think is most likely, is them trying to figure out all that stuff. I don't think it's to get away from other releases. Like, no matter where you go this year, you're kind of fucked, like, especially around October. I feel like November's an even worse place to put it than September. So,
well, I think November's a great place to put it, because this is a game that if parents are going into a Best Buy or GameStop or wherever they're purchasing their video games, and they see this amazing purple dragon on the front of the box, and they're asking the clerk behind the counter, hey, you know, I have a 10-year-old who loves video games. What would you recommend? This seems like an easy recommendation at retail.
Yeah, totally. Next up, our last thing of all this, there's just a ton of new gameplay videos and trailers out. There's a Lego DC Supervillains like gameplay demo up you can find. Shadow of the Tomb Raider has a trailer and a bunch of gameplay. There's gameplay footage of Diablo 3 on Switch, Fallout 76 trailer, Battlefield 5 trailer, and a ton of gameplay. Call of Duty trailer, a ton of gameplay, Metro Exodus trailer, Dead or Alive 6 trailer, Super Mario Party gameplay, which looks awesome, and a lot of Smash Bros. Ultimate direct feed gameplay going up, which excites me a lot. Our first look at King K. Rool's in action in an actual match, and also Dark Samus and Crom and all the Echo characters they announced. So that's cool.
Well, look at that. We have lower thirds.
So fancy. Look at Kev. He's great. Fourth news story of the day. Battlefield 5 pre-orders are below expectations, but it isn't going to bomb. This comes from Jeff Grubb from VentureBeat. Some of the hype around Battlefield 5 is starting to turn sour. In a note to investors, as the Wall Street Journal spotted, analyst Doug Creutz of investment firm Cohen & Co. said that the game's pre-order numbers were looking weak compared to Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2. Then, on August 14th, former DICE boss and longtime Electronic Arts executive Patrick Sutherland left the publisher. This has caused a lot of speculation among the fan community on forums and YouTube. The assumption is that the World War II shooter is a failure, but sources familiar with Electronic Arts and DICE tell a different story. Battlefield 5 isn't about to bomb, even if it isn't doing as well as Battlefield 1 was at this point. It is also underperforming EA's internal expectations. That is one of the main reasons the company did not raise its full-year revenue guidance during its last quarterly financial report. The credit for missing expectations likely goes to the disappointing reveal event and an October 29th release date that rubs up against Call of Duty Black Ops 4 on October 12th and Red Dead Redemption 2 on October 26th. Even with all of that working against Battlefield 5, it's not failing. It may not be living up to internal estimates at EA, but it's already outperforming Titanfall 2 by a significant margin. But EA does have a contingency plan if Battlefield 5's revenue trajectory turns south. DICE has major post-launch support plans that involve its Battle Royale mode. As previously reported, the studio's take on the Last Player Standing concept probably won't debut alongside the game in October, but DICE and EA may use that opportunity to get creative with how it distributes it. Fortnite, the major Battle Royale game on consoles, is free to play, so the publisher will have to take that into mind when it comes to roll out Battlefield Royale.
Well, Battlefield 1 had record sales. EA talked about that in their end of year results. So the bar is set incredibly high. Mm-hmm. In order to top like record sales, you would probably really need to either be reinventing the franchise or offering something that players can't get anywhere else. And with the previous Call of Duty just coming out of World War II, that itch could be scratched unless you're a Battlefield diehard, which there are millions, right? Mm-hmm. There are millions of people who will buy every single Battlefield game that's released. That being said, I think this really is due to what we have listed here, the really crowded October window of not just the two shooters that we have here. I don't know if you'd really call Red Dead a shooter, but I think they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Because I think the expectation is that it's going to sell 10 million units, and it probably will. It just might not all happen in holiday.
Yeah. Final news story of the day. Amazon Prime gets nerfed. This comes from Ethan Gok at Kotaku. New Twitch Prime members will no longer have access to ad-free viewing after September 14th, the streaming platform Twitch announced yesterday. Existing subscribers will still be able to watch streams uninterrupted until their next renewal date, at which point the ads will be inescapable for anyone who doesn't sign back up for the site's old premium service, Twitch Turbo. Quote, as we have continued to add value to Twitch Prime, we have also reevaluated some of the existing Twitch Prime benefits. Advertising is an important source of support for the creators who make Twitch possible. This change will strengthen and expand that advertising opportunity for creators so they can get more support from their viewers for doing what they love. We want Twitch to remain a place where anyone can enjoy one-of-a-kind interactive entertainment, and ads allow us to continue making Twitch the best place for creators to build communities around the things they love and make money doing it. Bull fucking shit.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to.
Here's the thing. We run a Twitch channel. You're probably watching it right now. We've seen the ad revenue that comes in from ads. It is nah fucking thing. If you think YouTube ad money's bad, Twitch ad money is, it's a fucking joke. So they're taking away one of the most valuable things of Twitch Prime, which is one of the most valuable things to Twitch users. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. This is not for the like, content creators.
It's just, it feels so false for them to say, we want to make it better for creators, that this is going to be an opportunity so they can get more support from their viewers. No, it's not. You just want, Amazon wants more money. Mm-hmm. And like, they have plenty of money. They're one of the richest companies in the world. I think the idea that Twitch is hard up for money isn't because they're lacking ad revenue from Twitch Prime people. It's because Twitch itself, it keeps expanding and expanding and expanding every year. And they are going to inevitably collapse under their enormous employee balloon they've had for the last 2-3 years. I've been saying this for years, that what Twitch is doing is really great. The community that they've created is incredible. But they keep expanding at a rate that they're not going to be able to support it financially. And now this is like the first of probably many steps that we're going to see for them to try to recoup more profit from the platform. And it's really disappointing that they have offered something like this as added value for not only Amazon Prime, but people who just sign up for Twitch Prime. And now they're like rolling that back instead of figuring out a different way to monetize. It's frustrating. And I agree with you that this is kind of a slap in the face for all of the loyal Twitch Prime people who have supported that service from the beginning, to say we're going to take away something.
Yeah.
Because generally when we get these stories, it's them adding value instead of saying, oh no, now you have to put your money over here if you don't want to watch ads. And the ad system on Twitch is already kind of terrible.
Yeah. And Andrea, it gets worse. Oh, Amazon also announced that Prime members will no longer get 20% discounts off pre-ordered new games either. Instead, beginning April 28th, Prime members will now get a $10 Amazon promotional credit when pre-ordering select games that can be used on almost anything. That's in quotes, that Amazon sells. This move comes on the back of other retailers, namely Best Buy and GameStop, canceling their own premium discount programs. I can't say I'm surprised. And this is disappointing. And this does suck. I do think that all of this is an ebb and flow, and it's going to continue to change. And I think that eventually it'll net out where there is some type of system that benefits gamers, and there will be a new system that maybe everybody uses. I don't know. Like, I feel eventually it'll work itself out. But the more and more that like Amazon Prime changes all its stuff, I feel like every year Amazon Prime switches from a gotta have service to a luxury service. And this is, I feel like, one of those, the ebbs of, it's a luxury service that you don't need to have. But if you have it, like, no one's going to buy it for Twitch Prime, right?
Right.
But when you have Amazon Prime, you get the shipping, you get the this, you get the, it's like, it's all additive. But at what point are you like, what am I actually subscribing to this service for? What is the core tenet of it, right? I will never unsubscribe from Amazon Prime until they fuck with my shipping to a point that I'm like, it's not even worth it.
Right. No, I'm with you here. I mean, this writing was certainly on the wall, and there's an argument to be made that the $10 promotional credit is essentially the same as 20% off on most games, and that there are millions of products you can use it on, and that you'll be able to essentially get your money back. But it's just really frustrating. So yeah. I thought Kevin was going to come over to say something.
Come in hot.
Just came in to pick up a cord.
You know what I'm going to do, Andrea? I'm going to do something a little out of order. I want to know what video games are coming out, but I want that section to be brought to you by MeUndies. Let me tell you about that. Don't you want amazing underwear shipped to you without ever leaving the house? I know I do, and I get it all the time. I'm wearing them right now. A couple days ago, I was telling you guys I got some new pirate ones. They were all like the skulls with all the gold coins that are shiny. Wearing those right now.
Prove it!
Did I look in the mirror today and shake a little bit just to see the glitter? I did.
Show us!
I did. Did I just use glitter as a verb and a noun?
You do not have to show your underwear.
I'm not going
to
do that.
You don't
not
have to,
do
but
it
would be cool.
Me and Greg both love MeUndies. I guarantee you Greg is also wearing them right now. They're the best underwear I've ever worn. I've thrown away all my other pairs of underwear. You guys have heard this a million times because it's the truth. They release multiple fun prints each month in matching socks and bralettes. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, just send them back. You get a full refund. And now, there's a MeUndies monthly membership. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes. And you can switch styles or skip any month you want to get your 15% off your first pair. Free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. Yeah,
I'm literally emailing this to John right now because I got him the hearts one back when we were doing the Valentine's Day promotion. Yeah, and it took him a while to get into it. I think it's just because he has way too many pairs of underwear. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I actually really like these. I go, I know. We've been talking about them on KFGD forever.
Yeah. You get the matching pairs too.
So I'm going to send him it right now.
It'd be adorable. I miss John.
Me too. He's
but Andrea,
gone.
If I wanted to know what games are coming to Mom and Grab shops today, where would I look?
Why, Tim, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, All-Star Fruit Racing on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Brawlout on PS4 and Xbox One. Fall of Light on PS4. Guacamelee 2. On PS4 and PC, Pizza Titan Ultra on PS4, Shenmue 1 and 2 remastered on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Michael Huber's out there, very excited right now. Slime Rancher on PS4. Someone loved that game. Dan Reichert loved that game. Check it out. Socketeer on PS4, Spectrum on PS4, Track Lab on PSVR, Tyler Model 005 on PS4, and you get a free demo for Transference on PSVR and PS4. Thank you, Kev. Thank you. It's time for reader mail. It's not too much of it because we've had a very long show.
Wait, did we do? Never mind. We did some of these up in Roper Report.
Where do we want to go?
Nobody knows.
Let's start with Kevin from Riverside. Hello, KFGD show hosts. Amazon announced that they'll be ending pre-order discounts on video games late yesterday. With the rumors of Xbox Scarlet, the end of Gamer Club unlocked from Best Buy, and the landscape of publisher-platform relationships, especially when it comes to digital marketplaces, how likely do you think that next-gen will be long-perceived all-digital future? I wrote with a similar question months ago when GameStop's new CEO stepped down after only 12 weeks in position. Big companies like Amazon, GameStop, and Best Buy get long lead times when it comes to new hardware. I'm sure Sony and Microsoft are starting to deliver new hardware pitches to these companies' boards of directors. I assume that these presentations would include details on software distribution, and that's why the retailers are positioning themselves carefully ahead of any announcements. I love all that you do. Something about a chicken. Kevin from Riverside, PS, Beyond.
I think next generation's too soon. I think the generation after that could potentially be all digital. We routinely talk about the lack of worldwide internet access and high-speed internet access at that. And I think there's still tens of millions of consumers out there who struggle with digital-only downloads. And until that there is a more cost-effective way to get more storage into the systems themselves without having to buy an external hard drive, we're still going to see retail releases. Now, I know that most discs these days require you to install at least part of the disc or download at least some update. So trying to play something exclusively on disc without connecting your box to the internet is kind of an impossible concept.
Yeah.
That being said, the idea that you can go digital only, you can't really go digital only without buying an external hard drive on any of these systems unless you're okay with deleting your games. And I don't know about you guys, but there's nothing more annoying than when I'm getting ready to play a new game and then I have to go through my catalog and decide what I have to delete, which is why I've invested in a 4 terabyte external hard drive for my systems.
Well, the thing about hard drives.
Oh, it's cool.
And God bless 2018 for this. hard drives, they're practically giving them away these days.
But it's still an extra cost. That's my point. And video games are expensive to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's fair for the hardware makers to just burden their consumers with that extra cost when they should be looking at how to get that internal on the box. And then they could promote their digital services as being like, you know, look at how much space we have. These 2 terabyte hard drives we're just starting to see now, and they're still really expensive, right? Like $500. And it's frustrating. And because of all of these reasons, that's why I still think a digital only future is farther away than people might think.
I feel like with the idea of the cloud-based stuff, that could solve a lot of those problems. I know a lot of people like us hate that. And they're like, we want to be able to get a cloud service that actually works consistently,
then I might be on board.
Maybe that's what Scarlett will be. We'll see.
I just look at HD broadcast and how long that took to permeate the marketplace. You can still watch almost all of the basic channels, even a lot of cable channels, in SD. And HD has been around for almost 20 years now.
The thing with it is I don't think that we'll ever hit a point that we have an all digital console generation. I mean, like, even look at music. Music is digital now. However, CDs are still a thing.
Well, and like, vinyl is making a comeback.
And like that, it's always going to be this kind of niche collector thing, but it's like CDs are still like majority of releases have a CD release as well. Not all of them. But I feel like video games are probably going to be that way as well. And they already kind of are, where not every game has a physical release. I think that next generation, if the Scarlet rumors are true, and if we're going towards like Xbox Game Pass being kind of the idea of the future, I could see next generation being the first one that we look at as a digital generation. But that doesn't mean that physical games don't exist.
Right. I think we covered almost all the other ones that I pulled within the... section up at the top.
Well, it's time to squat up then, ladies and gentlemen. Linker writes in and says, "Hey, eyes up, Kind of Funny Guardians. I need some help finishing the 2 raid layers on Destiny 2 before Solstice of Heroes ends. I'm usually online Monday and Thursday nights after 7 p.m. Pacific and sporadically throughout the weekend. I'm a veteran raider from D1 and I'm at a 396 power level. I'm not looking for a carry, but would actually like to learn these activities. Any help I can get from this awesome community would be greatly appreciated. Hit him up. His PSN name is Link6469.
I believe I've played with Link before.
Maybe. Someone else hanging out with them. Now it's time for your wrong. Andrea, how are we looking?
Well, Mr. Penguin Von Penguin says the PUBG mode is called War Mode.
Thank you.
It's a team deathmatch for PUBG. Isn't that just what PUBG is anyway?
It's all war.
I guess
all
instead of being like every man for himself, there's teams. Okay. Brian McBrien says
Penguin Von Penguin and Brian McBrien.
Squad. Oh, I skipped one. Hold on. Compo63 says, it was never a disc in stores re-PUBG, but you could go in-store and buy the Xbox One case like any other game. It just came with a digital code for the game. That's silly.
So silly.
Unless it was like a special steelbook. I don't know why you would do that.
But even then, it's just empty.
Yeah. But some people collect steelbooks. There's a reason why they continue to show up in collector's editions, Kevin. Brian McBrien says the Xbox One X Project Scorpio Edition was the first non-all-black model. Wasn't that just another shade of black?
But was that even sold?
Yeah, the Project Scorpio Edition? Yeah, it wasn't announced at Gamescom last year as a special edition?
Really?
I thought so. Lord of Pwned says, outside of Shenmue, the furthest hard release date I could find was for Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which is March 22nd. There are currently 9 AAA titles with release dates in Q1. That's a lot.
Oh, you're right.
That's a lot of games.
Although it looks very similar. It just says Project Scorpio.
Dennis Lofgren says, the publisher of Dark Souls is Bandai Namco, not Square Enix, as the person writing and said.
Damn. People getting you wrong left and right.
Damn!
Zyger also wrote in to clarify that.
Yeah,
Zaire says, just a note that the Dark Souls trilogy, Bandai Namco states that it is available, quote, in limited numbers. So that's interesting. I don't know why they would do that. Couldn't you just get the digital release? Are they just talking about the retail release? What does it mean?
Yeah, it's just the retail. It's like a special steelbook thing.
Got it. Lord of Pwned says Ace Combat 7 still has VR missions, but they are exclusive to PSVR.
Cool.
Kebab says Mega Bloks also owns the license for Call of Duty, Power Rangers, Pokemon, and Destiny. Mm-hmm. Not a year wrong, but I felt Tim and Alfredo should know. Are you calling me Alfredo? Kebabs? What the fuck? Zaire says, Blizzard did say Overwatch is feasible on Switch from GameSpot, quote, anything is within the realm of possibility, end quote. And this other quote, our team was given the task to work on this. If Overwatch developer Team 4 picks up that endeavor, that's on them. As of right now, Diablo is our only focus on Switch. That is recent because when Overwatch, or when Switch first was announced and was about to launch, they said a different thing.
Before they knew it was going to be a fucking runaway hit. You know what I mean, Kev?
I mean, really?
Yep.
They were like, we don't know about this new handheld thing. If it goes the way of the Wii U, we're out.
Out.
Devil May Cry has a new gameplay trailer out today. I believe you said that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Massive Scores is just a clarification for the Twitch Prime ad story. Channels will have the option to turn on ads for Twitch Prime subscribers. If you don't want Prime subscribers to get ads, you'll have to change the settings for the Kinda Funny Games account.
We should figure that out.
If that's the case, this is a non-story.
I mean, what's the point then? If they're going to allow people to turn the monetization off.
Because, like, if that's true, I take back all the shit I was talking. And in which case, this is a very forward-thinking thing for creators.
I guess if you think about YouTube, you could choose to not monetize all of your videos, right?
Yeah.
Can YouTube override that and put overlays on anyway? No, right?
No, only if you are using someone else's content.
Right. If it's like in the content ID system, right?
Interesting. But yeah, if that's the case, then it's just more options for creators and they get to choose. Like it's on a creator by creator basis on if they want to.
Then the spin on this story is all wrong. The lead is buried somewhere.
Totally.
Okay, Lord of Pwn says the $10 credit is not the same, referring to the Twitch Prime story, as the 20% savings for Amazon. For me, a $59.99 game will be $2.72 more expensive than before. Well, I know it's not exactly the same. What I meant to clarify there is that the value is similar. It's not like you're not getting the 20% at all. It's just being your that money is showing up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding regarding the hold on, let me format this. I'm having trouble reading it. Lord of Pwn writes in regarding SD broadcast transition to HD. There were several factors why it took so long as it did. The discussion of which could take hours. The TLDR version is that it's complicated and shouldn't be compared to digital-only games. I would disagree with you there. I think you're editorializing. I think that there's a lot of very complicated reasons why digital-only is not going to happen for a while. Just like SD to HD had a lot of very complicated reasons. Are they the same? Of course not. They're not the same technology. I was just using it as an example.
Analogies.
Yes.
Son, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, man. We did pretty good. I like that. Tomorrow, switching it up a bit, it's going to be Jared and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday.
Be prepared for a 2-hour show, ladies and gentlemen.
Strap in, everybody. Until next time. I love you.
I'm ready. Sorry.